Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Thanks for joining me. Today, I have a guest, Dan. How do I pronounce your last name? I don't know.
It's pronounced Tebow.
Tebow. Okay. That is not the route that I would have gone with that. Uh-huh. So I'm glad I asked.
I'm used to that.
I would assume so. So you've been involved in podcasting for at least a couple years, it seems. We're going to talk about your experiences and all of that in a little bit, but I just wanted to talk about a podcasting article that I found that is honestly not that recent, but is still important to discuss.
I just wanted to say it's great to be invited to be on your podcast. I listen regularly and I'm a fan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I know I realize I've been doing this, I believe, 3 years now, because I started in like early September of 2015. It's been a while.
Well, you are helping people empower their podcasts.
I try.
I'm on that. I'm on that list.
Good. Speaking of, the article I wanted to talk about is titled "Explain the Content of Podcasts, Not the Technology." This is from back in March. And it's Edison Research Webcast is offering advice to podcasters and specifically trying to encourage people to focus on content and not the technology, which is very easy to get mixed up in because podcasting is very technical.
Yeah, it really is. And this is a great article for me to read because I get tangled up in the technology part of it. And I feel like I need to explain that to my clients or to people that are listening, and you know, and then I do forget to talk about what the show is about and the content. It's absolutely dead on.
Yeah, they're kind of basing this off of their research that they did for 2018, and they really focused on the fact that around 60% of Americans are familiar with podcasting, and about a quarter of those people have listened to a podcast in the last month. And so that leaves a third of Americans that know about podcasts but don't actually listen to them.
Right. And that was me about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not your typical, I guess if there is a stereotype of a podcaster, I probably don't fit. I'm 59 years old and I'm a digital immigrant. So, you know, learning all this was, I had a drink from the fire hose to learn it all. So I kind of am interested in these stats because I know where I sit on them. I'm on the fringe. I'm the data of podcasters aging up.
Right. The actually on your podcast, the other Blueberry podcast hosted by Mike and Todd, on the last episode, it was a discussion of the people that are listening to podcasts, and it is millennials and Gen X.
Right. And guys like me and people, men and women like me, I think it's growing. Mm-hmm. I think they are technically challenged. And that's part of the reason why I talk about the technology so much. I try to educate people on how easy it is. And that fact that it's free. I mean,
free is fantastic.
When people hear subscribe, they think money.
Oh, that's what we're used to at this point in time with every other subscription that I have for content.
Right. And so, you know, it's part of getting them to understand that podcasts are very accessible. They're free. Here's how you do it. And that's why I think I get caught up in you know, trying to explain the technical aspects.
It's totally understandable why people try to explain how to listen to a podcast. And especially because I come from the technical service side and not so much the content side. Like, I mean, we make the content available to people, but we're not involved in that at all. So I get a little tunnel vision with that sometimes. But then, you know, I see myself personally and all these other millions of people out there that are willing to pay subscription fees for content that they want. And it's like if we spent more time focusing on promoting and telling people about this amazing content that is actually out there, then they will figure out how to get it.
They will
overcome this technology barrier if they want the content enough.
I agree. I agree totally. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
I can't get enough podcasts now. I love podcasts. I love listening to them. I love producing them.
Do you remember what, like, one of the first podcasts that you listened to was?
It was Something You Should Know with Mike Carruthers.
Yep.
Actually, he recommended Blueberry to me.
Oh, nice.
Early on when I was drinking from that fire hose, I actually spoke with him. And I took part of his services that he offers new podcasters. And he strongly recommended that I go with Blueberry.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that.
And that's a great podcast. He's a radio guy for years. Mm-hmm. He was syndicated, and he took his show, which is, you know, like topical evergreen subjects, and morphed it into a podcast. And he's huge now. He's doing very, very well.
It's very nice to see people put in the effort and go a different route and actually have something positive come out the other side.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's part of the appeal for me with that show is I remembered it from the radio, and it's radio like. It's you know, it's a little bit kind of radio polished and radio formatted. So I was okay listening to that because that's what I was used to.
Right.
And that just speaks again to me and my demographic, my age group.
It was an easy transition.
It was a very easy transition. And I was you know, in moving forward, I kind of produce shows that are more like that, and I work with more radio people. And I think that in order for the demographic to age up, that kind of content does need to be up in as podcasts, because people are going to expect that and welcome that and feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, it's whenever people are going to find something that they relate to and that they're kind of already searching for in an updated way is when I think they'll come over to podcasting. Because, I mean, they already know how it works or that it does exist, and they just need to be able to find something that will keep their attention. That sounds kind of bad, but I feel like that is what needs to happen.
It's exactly what needs to happen. It's exactly.
Yeah, it's so going back to this article, it says that people need to explain the content and not the technology. It's that because the research that they were doing is that people were telling them when they, like, what they most liked about podcasts, it was all, their answers were always around the fact that it was content, connection, community, and learning something new. And they never said, oh, I get to listen to it in my car, or, oh, I get to subscribe to it on my phone, or I get to listen to it through my Alexa app. It's, you care about the content. You don't care how you're listening to it. That is, like, yeah, you're going to have your favorite way to do it, but that's not why you're listening to it.
Yeah, it's not because they love RSS feeds, that's
no,
for sure.
No, that has nothing to do with it. It's that I want to listen to good conversation and stories and learn something before I get to work. You know, that's what keeps me coming back. And they ended the article with, if more people will, it says if they would align their promotional strategies with the reasons that people listen, the technology side should take care of itself, which I think is very true. Mm-hmm. If we just focus on promoting in unconventional ways, and that really, I don't think are unconventional. I think it just seems weird to people that are podcasters because they've never done this before. Mm-hmm. That technology will catch up, that people will figure it out, and then they'll just have a bigger audience, you know. It's
I think the technology will change as well and become a little bit more user friendly. Mm-hmm. I can see that coming.
I mean, I've definitely seen that in the past couple of years.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, to be able to with the smart speakers, to be able to call it up, to be able to mm-hmm. say you want to hear something. I do that with my cast. I have Alexa down in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and I do that with my cast, and I love doing that. It's just, you know, I love showing other people how to do that as well. But that's the future. That's where I think things are gonna go.
For this research that they did, they said about 49% of the people most often will listen while they're at home, And they said they were surprised by that, or that most people are surprised by that because they think people listen in the car or, you know, on the go or something like that. And that is true. And they said what throws people is the fact that they are not focusing on the part where it says most often. Is that it's not that people aren't listening in all those other places as well. It's that people will listen in multiple ways because on average, people will listen to 7 podcasts throughout the week.
Right.
And you're not going to be listening to all 7 in every single, in like the same place every single time.
Yeah, I don't.
That's just, that's not how, like, no one has that time anymore. So.
And that's the beauty of podcasts.
Yeah.
You can do it whenever you want.
Yeah, you can listen whenever you want, however you want. So the people will figure out the technology, but they actually have to care about something to figure out said technology. As simple as that. New podcasters out there, old podcasters, who literally anyone who has a show, I think, bearing this in mind is something that you can, that we can all do.
I'm taking this to heart, and I think it's a great article. Yeah. And I know I need to move in this direction. So I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm glad we're talking about it.
Definitely. Moving away from that article into what you do, you have a variety of ways that you are involved in podcasting.
I guess I do.
On the listener side, on the creator side, on the, you know, the production side. So give us a bit of an idea of what you do.
Yeah, well, I have a podcast called Life Underground, and it's I have a hobby, and I'm a metal detectorist, and I started doing it with my son when he was a bit younger. Mm-hmm. And I found old relics and coins, and I have a history background. I taught history for a while when I was in my 30s. But when I became interested in podcasting, I thought that would be a kind of a cool show to talk about something that I found and do a little research on it, provide a little historical context, and then kind of tell a narrative. So, you know, my podcast is more like a book narration in a way, short story. It's not very long. Mm-hmm. They're about 13 minutes, 15 minutes. But basically, doing that podcast was an attempt at learning how to become an independent content creator. You know, I mostly have a friends and family following, but it's given me legitimacy in the space. And over time, that morphed into a small business I started called Fast Twitch Media, where I help others record, edit, and publish their podcast using Blueberry. Mm-hmm. As the media host. I'm a huge fan of Blueberry. I can't say enough nice things about it. It's going to sound like I'm a shill here, but the products and the services and the tech support is just top notch. And I would not be able to do anything I'm doing without you guys.
Thank you.
I have 5 clients. They're nonprofits. They're trade shows, mm-hmm. trade associations, businesses, and entertainers, people from radio, former broadcasters, or people that are still broadcasting. I sometimes do engineering for them in the field. Sometimes I go to a studio with them and record. I edit the podcast, and more, I guess the real tough part is the back end stuff for most people. So, you know,
it typically is.
Yeah, I publish them. I mean, that's just melts people's brains when you start talking about configuration and RSS feeds. And I mean, my first client, I went to him and I sat with him for an hour and I said, let me show you how to do it.
Yeah.
This is DIY. I'm going to show you how to do it. After the hour, he said, I want you to do it. They don't have time, don't have the bandwidth to, you know, learn something that in depth.
Right.
And they're busy. They're busy people. So that's how it worked out for me. I suddenly became skilled in something that I never expected to be skilled in, and just absolutely love doing what I'm doing right now.
So you took the opportunity and ran with it and kind of realized, oh, I've learned this and other people don't want to.
Yeah. That's
amazing though. I mean, to be able to take the abilities that you have and share them with others, that doesn't always happen.
So. Yeah, no, and the content that's going up is really, some of it's, I'd say almost all of it is really, really important. Mm-hmm. There's messages there. There's awareness there. I do a podcast. I publish a podcast called Dyslexics Wanted. Mm-hmm. There's another one, Mass Prostate Cancer Coalition. There's Profiles in the American Dream, stories of business entrepreneurs that struggle and somehow make their businesses work. So it's, you know, I feel like I'm doing something.
I feel like I'm doing
worthwhile. You know, I'm creating or helping other people create and get their voice heard. And, you know, the fact that you can do this and get your podcast out worldwide, mm-hmm. it's kind of amazing. And that's what intrigues most people. And that's what, you know, gives you a lot of credibility in the space, is that I can, with the click of a button, you can be heard in Iran or Japan.
It is a little bit humbling sometimes when you look at your podcast stats and you see downloads from all these different countries. It's pretty amazing.
It is. I was, addicted to my stats in the beginning, like everybody else.
Yes.
As like every 5 minutes waiting for them to refresh.
Yep.
You get over that after a while. The email is good enough, right? And you're just like, okay.
Yeah. It's good. It's good for your soul, I think.
But it is tremendously exciting to see those stats come in and to see where you're being downloaded. It truly is. And the clients that I have love seeing that as well.
So do you ever do like the full scale, like start to finish publishing process for anyone? Like, will you edit their episode and then do the show notes and then publish for them and then like post on social media for them? Really, they just like give you the file.
I do a little bit of everything for most of my clients. I do help them post to social. Mm-hmm. I'm an admin on a couple of different clients' accounts. So, you know, and I'll create some elements. Maybe if I'm with them and I'm with their guest, I'll do a short video on my iPhone and piece it together on Final Cut, and I'll post something, put maybe a audio track underneath or song, the music bed from the podcast itself, or mm-hmm. do a voiceover. And I recently did do a recording in the field. I've done a few of those, but I picked up one client where I will be going out into the field and interviewing. So I grabbed my Tascam DR40 and my SM58s, and you know, that's a lot of fun doing that. Mm-hmm. And I usually, you know, capture some video while I'm there. So yeah, and I'll come back and I'm in Audacity. For those that are using Audacity, that's how I learned how to edit. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit picky, so I like to get some of the ums and the ahs out.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, throw the music bed under there. Some of my clients want them in there.
Yeah.
They don't want it to sound too clean. They want it to sound like a conversation. So, you know, I do that too. Yeah, so I don't think the show notes, it's interesting that you asked about that. I usually make the client write those.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get it wrong. I will help them with their show notes, and I will, you know, put hyperlinks in there. You know, I'll put some other language in there that kind of speaks to the SEO. Mm-hmm. But I want them to kind of give them to me.
I understand that. I will do, like, I'll wrap up the show notes. I'll clean them up for Mike and Todd for the podcast, your podcast. And sometimes I'll have questions and I'm like, I'm not about to get this wrong. This is what you put. I have no idea if that's actually your intent or this just doesn't have enough information. And I'm like, I this is your topic, but I don't know what the general discussion was around the topic. So give me a bit more.
Yeah, I think you're working too hard and I think you do too much. So tell those guys to write their own show notes.
I will happily clean it up for them, because their grammar is not their top skill sometimes. So okay. I will help out with that. I will happily do that. But so I know you were guided towards Blueberry via someone that you know, but what are, like, I know you're using PowerPress for some of these shows, but found any quirks or like anything specific that you really like about the plugin?
No, I love the plugin. You know, again, there was a learning curve.
Yeah.
But I've watched every YouTube video Mike Dell has put out.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're there for.
Oh, yeah. He's saved my bacon more than once. I think it works really well. I think it's very much like blogging, mm-hmm. Only with an audio file.
Definitely.
And once you get it configured, I mean, once you get the PowerPress plugin configured, it's really straightforward, pretty simple every time. So the process, for me, keeps getting easier and easier the more I do it. I also like the support that I get. I mean, again, you know, look, for $12 a month, Mike has saved my butt more times than I can tell you. Mm-hmm. He's great. I mean, Todd's chimed in on issues that I've had. So in times when they didn't even have to. I mean, we just went through that horrible Apple problem with the validation process and Podcast Connect. Podcast Connect wasn't working really well.
They just kind of shut down for a while there.
Oh boy, yeah. And I know a lot of people were in an uproar, and you know, it was a tough time for a lot of people, and me in particular. I was launching a brand new podcast, but you know, when I inquired about it, I got responses. People were helpful. People were trying to solve the problem, and I truly appreciate that. You should always, and you can't be, you can't be difficult with with tech help people. You know, I learned always to respect those who feed you, heal you, or educate you, and they educate you.
One of the ways that I kind of came across your show and asking you to be on the podcast was I had seen your name pop up in our support tickets. And it would be for like all these different shows. And I'm like, how many shows does this guy have? And I was like, what is he doing? And I skimmed a couple of the support tickets and I was like, he is helping multiple people. He is doing this multiple ways. No wonder he has so many questions, because he's trying to figure this out for so many different
people. That's so funny that you saw that.
Yeah. Of like, this person wants to do it this way. This person wants to do it this way. This person's having this issue. And I'm like, this makes sense now.
Okay. Oh, that's funny you saw that.
I mean, it just stands to how involved you are and how helpful you are to all these other people, and that you are the one trying to figure it out for them. That, you know, you're being their resource and their guide, and even more so than their guide, that like you're the answer person for them.
And little do they know that I've got a team of people answering my questions. So,
right. But that's what we're here for. And that is what you are there for them.
Yeah. You know what? It works so well. It's just, it's such a great collaboration, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to be doing what I'm doing.
So what is something about podcasting you do not like?
The editing is difficult. I wouldn't say difficult. It's tedious at times.
Yes.
It's my least favorite thing, is to throw the headphones on and start, you know, cutting and pasting or cutting. And, you know, I'm still learning Audacity as well. So, you know, compression and EQ and noise reduction, I'm getting much, much better at those things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some podcasts of my own that I put out that now that I listen to them now, I cringe.
Oh, we all do that.
I didn't know what I was doing back then. But, you know, it's a learning process. So I would have to say it's probably that. It's probably the editing. Meeting with people, love it.
Yeah.
Hearing their stories, absolutely love it.
The content part.
Oh, yeah. And then just becoming a part of their network and meeting other people that surround them and are doing similar things that they're doing. That is just above all the best part of podcasting. So maybe that gets back to the Edison Project. You know, it isn't the Edison report in that article. It's not the technical part. It's the contents, the people, it's the mission.
Yeah, I don't see very many people holding on to podcasting because they enjoy the process of it, or they enjoy the publishing part of it, or anything like that. It's they like the conversation. They like the part that people are listening to as well. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening. When I, you know, I've found myself, I was just saying at the beginning, this is about my third year doing this, and I have found myself still, I don't truly enjoy editing. I do think it's tedious. It's not my thing. However, I do get excited because I'm like, well, once this is done, then I get to schedule this, and then I get, then the episode goes out.
Yeah. And, you know, also, I mean, your podcast or your podcast with Mike and Todd is more about the technical end of things. And PowerPress podcast with Mackenzie Bennett is more about the art of podcasting. And that's what I love about your show is, you know, when I need the technical stuff, I listen to your podcast. And when I need this, I listen to Mackenzie Bennett.
Thank you for that, because that is very apparent to me, and I'm sure to the people that listen as well, that I understand the importance of the technology. I am not passionate about the technology that goes into it.
Right.
I am passionate about the people doing the podcasting and why they're doing the podcasting and what they're getting out of it. That definitely has evolved for me. It's nice to see that, and other people have seen that as well.
Yeah, and I'm also an affiliate.
Good.
So I do that. I've done that for about a year, and I like being in that program very much. It's nice to be able to say to a new client, you get your first month free because I'm an affiliate.
Yep. Yep. That's why we do it.
You know, I do need to promote that more. I do see your posts on that and your advice on that, and I really do need to move on that now that I'm talking about that. So
it's a whole other wavelength sometimes of, yes, you know, we have these affiliates, but some of them aren't even podcasters, but they know that they reach an audience of people who will be podcasters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's, you know, we just think that there are many people out there that are bloggers or have sites that are associated to technology in that way. And they're like, well, yeah, these people will be interested in it. So why not promote it to them?
Yeah, it's absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, it's amazing to see what people will come up with to turn those promotions that they have into actual sales for themselves, which in turn are sales for us too. So I've been doing that for 3 years, and I like that aspect a lot of my job because, I mean, I have many hats, but that is one of them that I thoroughly enjoy, because I, as I'm figuring out all these new things, I tell you guys, and it's nice to learn something on a regular basis like that.
Yeah, there's so much to share with each other. There's so much knowledge out there that, you know, a show like this kind of keeps everybody current or keeps everybody learning new things.
Tell me, tell people how that they can find your website if they would like to utilize your services or listen to your show.
I am fasttwitchmedia.space. My podcast is Life Underground.
Okay.
And
that's a great name, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm not sure if I came up with that, or my wife or my son. I can't remember, but yeah, I have, hopefully I'll have another episode out in a couple of months. I'm currently using my metal detector on an old farm here where I live in Sterling, Massachusetts, and I've already found some really cool things, so I think I can come up with a great story.
Good.
Please, yeah, visit my site, and if there's anything I can do to help you, I'd be glad to. I will be the first one to say that if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a DIY person. And I think you can get through it. But I'd be glad to help in any way I can, give advice, or someday I could even be the tech support person at Blueberry, I think, if I keep going in the direction I'm going. I know when Mike Dell hears that, he's going to cringe, but
I don't know about that, but keep going.
Yeah,
keep going. We actually are looking for a nights and weekends tech support person, if anyone is interested.
I saw that, and that's why I brought that up. And I said to myself, I would love to do that, but I'm not there yet.
Not ready.
No, not even close.
Well, I'm, you know, just because we're getting someone now doesn't mean we're not going to be getting someone later. We are slowly but surely adding more people on.
Well, it sounds like, you know, for me, when I saw that, most of it was, I would just like to work for Blueberry, to be honest with you. It just seems like a great, great company. You have an authentic leader.
Yes.
And that stuff, you know, that comes through and that makes a difference. So that's my, I know I'm probably going overboard here plugging you guys, but it's sincere and it's unsolicited.
But yeah. Yeah. I know it. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to say, but thank you.
I know. Just tell me to stop.
Well, on that note, thank you for being on the show today. We have a PowerPress tip coming up right here at the end of the show, and I'll be back in 2 weeks, everyone. Dan, thanks for being on.
Mackenzie, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm grateful.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. Thanks to a recent announcement from Apple, there's been a lot of talk lately about secure podcast feeds. In its announcement, Apple stated that at some point in the future, it will require new podcast submissions to use secure RSS feeds. To clarify, this requirement will apply to new feeds being submitted to Apple Podcasts, not existing feeds that are already listed in its directory. Apple hasn't provided a timetable yet as to when this requirement will go into effect. For the time being, Apple is still accepting non-secure podcast feeds. So what the heck is a secure feed anyway? The simple answer is a podcast feed where the URL begins with HTTPS instead of just HTTP. In order to get that HTTPS URL, the website hosting your feed must have its own SSL or Secure Socket Layer certificate. This certificate puts the S in HTTPS. If you're a Blueberry podcast generator or PowerPress sites user, just contact support to get HTTPS added to your podcast feed. If you're using a self-hosted site with the PowerPress plugin, check with the company hosting your website to see if they can add an SSL certificate to your site. If they can, make sure their SSL provider is on Apple's approved providers list. You can find that list by searching the support documents at create.blueberry.com. If your hosting company's SSL provider is on the list, ask them to add an SSL certificate to your website. Once that's done, you'll want to make sure all of the traffic that comes to your website is redirected to the HTTPS version of the site. An easy way to do this is with a redirection plugin like the Easy HTTPS SSL Redirection plugin. Once you're redirecting everything to HTTPS, your existing subscribers and most syndication points, including Apple Podcasts, should automatically update themselves to start using the HTTPS version of your feed. There aren't any specific settings that need to be changed within PowerPress to enable your secure podcast feed. Once the SSL certificate and the HTTPS redirect are in place, you're done. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.